Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We are getting into the second half of Burn Witch Burn today. Joined once again by Miss Shadow Lovely and Slow V-Pay Gang. What's good?
Yo, yo.
So, zombies are real and here. Where we last left off was, I believe, a very strangely framed scene that, conceptually could have been very emotional of someone coming in and reviving a stillborn child, but instead it's, very stressful and weird. It's very just, odd, and it sucks to be it. So that's where we left off. If this is your first episode, hi, welcome to the podcast. Love to have you here. Yeah, feel free to take a seat over there. You're going to want to pick a different episode. I recommend starting at the beginning of a season, but definitely not in the middle of an episode. That's crazy. That being said, it is, we started with them being, she says zombies on, I believe, and then the zombies start chasing them into a car. Is that correct?
Yeah, Marie Laveau, turns the zombies from defensive mode into attack mode, like in Yu-Gi-Oh. And we can't forget Marie Laveau is also levitating. That is an important aspect we need to remember from the first half of the episode.
Yeah, she blows the funny Pikmin whistle and says "kill," and they go okay.
Yeah, and they are, but somehow I don't know. It never really explains, but either some of the zombies are a little sentient, or she just specifically sent specific ones to do specific things. Because otherwise,
oh yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it makes no sense why specifically Delphine's daughters target her unless she has some modicum of control over them, at least a little bit.
May I remind you that for once these are literal zombies, as in from voodoo or hoodoon. Origins, so therefore they may not follow I'm just kidding, they obviously did the normal zombie rules and forgot.
But that's what's so funny is there was a split second where I was like, oh shit, is Slowbee frightened? And then I was like, wait, no, they just made him Night of the Living Dead zombies walking at you with arms extended shit. Fuck you, man.
If you wanna be
don't trick me into thinking, hey, maybe they made a good point. No, they didn't, you son of a bitch.
If you wanna be literal, that's where zombie comes from and all that, but I don't think there's anything to that. I think it's just sort of hey, happy coincidence for us, you know. And Brian Falchuk looked up from a line of coke and was like, what, zombies now? Whatever. But anyway,
yeah, also in this, it's I don't know if they did this intentionally or not, but also we now have a type of zombie for each of the schools of magic. We have the Kyle zombie from the Miss Robichaud's school, mm-hmm. and we have these zombies from this. Also, I don't know really whether we consider or not Misty Day's gators to be zombies. She is a necromancer, but they treat necromancy in this show as you're just back. It's not you're a zombie. Yeah. You're back for realsies. You just didn't die.
Right.
Which is why it's so weird that Kyle turned out as a Frankenstein situation. Why did that happen? Why is he just a random guy who yells and kills and that's it? Everyone else, I don't know, I guess I've never seen Misty revive a person. I've seen Fiona revive a person though, and they were just fine. So maybe actually Misty's pretty bad. Have we considered maybe Misty is actually bad at her job?
Yeah, well, I think to her credit, she doesn't have any other powers, so
zombies.
She doesn't have the coochie power.
They're not economies of scale, so if you try to mass produce zombies, they get even worse. You know, that's the hard thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Diseconomies of scale, they call it in bullshit.
Also, Marie Laveau had to do hella stuff to summon her zombies. She had to kill six snakes and dance around a lot, and there was a whole summoning circle. Whereas The other witches are just I brought someone back to life and they're alive now.
Right, yeah. I feel there was witch Reddit, you know what I mean? They could just be no, you don't have to do all that. Just do it. It's cleaner, you know, it's easier. Oh, really? Wow. I've been doing this all right.
Spells coding school.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a way more efficient way to do this. You just got to set up the global variable earlier, and then you just reference that. It saves you so many lines.
Don't pollute your witch namespace, though. Yeah, no, exactly. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, we have like we got like 50 zombies outside the Robichaux school, and they're all somehow Nan got Luke, who got axed in the leg by a zombie. Like, some of these zombies are like Hunt Showdown zombies that have weapons for some reason. And one of them had like an axe, and it got Luke in the leg, so he's injured. But they did make it to a car, and they're in a car. And at first, when I was rewatching this, I didn't remember what happened in this scene. And I'm like, they're not going to say this car is going to protect them from these zombies that have axes and sickles, are they? And fortunately, they don't, because immediately the zombies start beating the shit out of the car and breaking in immediately.
And then old Zoe No Plan shows up.
Zoe's like, I got this. She starts like just banging pots and pans to get their attention, like they're a bunch of dogs.
Literally what I do to dogs in Lethal Company. Yeah. Like, come get it, Stinky, come get it, so that everybody else is safe. And unlike everyone else, Zoe just doesn't have a plan. She just like does this. The zombies start following her. She runs not into the house, but just into like a shitty shed, and then closes it and is like, oh, I have no out.
It's just fine.
Like, thought half a step into the plan and was like, good enough, to arms.
Yeah, it's
fine. Seat of the pants has failed me again, but yep.
I feel like, I don't know, I feel like if I knew my only witch power was that my coochie killed people, I would be a lot less confident than Zoe. I wouldn't be like, no pun intended, flying by the seat of my pants.
How badly do you want to kill these zombies, Zoe? Because,
if I had, like, pyromancy or telekinesis or something, like pyrokinesis or telekinesis, all right, I might be able to handle some zombies.
Zoe, how'd you get rid of all the zombies? I shot them.
Yeah, like, I feel like Zoe hasn't really done, like, a lot of testing. I feel like the first thing I would do if I found out my coochie could kill, like, on the spot, is I would just be like, all right, I'm going to try and just, like, wrap my legs around someone's waist and see if that, like, fucks him up a little bit. Or, like, how far does this go? It's magic. I'm not sure what the exact mechanism is here, but, like, can I just, like, have someone, can I just have the telekinesis witch throw me at a dude's face and kill him?
Oh, my God. Like, what if it's, like, a projectile thing? There's options here. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the question. So much. Is it,
Zoe,
like, poison
hasn't thought
damage?
About shit.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Is it contact? Like, what's going on? Like, is
if
it...
it's not, yeah.
Is
yeah,
it like a mana sapping thing, or is it like a physical thing where it does like physical damage? There's a lot of like elements to her power that we don't get for probably for good reason, if we're being honest. But like,
yeah,
we don't
fair.
Get a lot of the nitty gritty of how exactly the killer coochie works. And I feel like
it's a big part. Of, it's a big part of the frustration with Zoe, though. Like, I just want her to be like a little bit more interested in it. Like, if you've been dealt one card and it seems like a terrible card, you at least want to, like, know the best ways to use said. But look, you're low tier. You gotta do the work. That's all there is to it.
And I mean, clearly, like, other witches have dealt with it too, because the Supreme always has all the powers, which means the Supremes also have the killer coochie. But, like, they seem to be doing okay with it. They don't seem to be having any problems with it.
Actually, wait a minute, though. Yeah, but, like, Fiona's hooked up with people, right? Like, I don't know if it's been expressly, and I don't know if Sloby from the future thinks that might happen, but, like, that's
well,
not
that's
a
what
thing
I'm saying
that
is, like, I think they figured out how to control it so that
oh,
it doesn't just,
mean, yeah.
like, turbo kill someone right away unless they want it to or something.
Right,
I think
yeah,
they figured
yeah.
out how to turn it off, like... I don't know. To me,
oh,
it
seems like what you would tell Zoe. That seems like the first thing you would do is like, oh, you got coochie disease. Okay, yeah, we got you.
Yeah.
We know that one.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Well, to be fair, I guess Fiona wasn't really around. And then by the time Fiona showed up, a lot of other stuff was going on. Her coochie's
they
pretty
were
low
busy.
On the... Yeah, her coochie's
right.
pretty
yeah,
low
on the,
on the totem pole of things we got to take care of.
It would be fun to see Zoe just occasionally be like, hey, Fiona, real quick. Yeah. She's like walking around like, hey, can I sling a question your way real quick, Supreme? Real quick, just one thing?
Like, maybe, like, email me. Just, like, put it down in an email and then send it to me. It's fine. Sure. Do you have, like, a document I could read?
What about scissoring? Is there, like, a fac for this, or you
yeah,
know.
Like, would it just be better if I switch teams? Like, if I was strictly interested in women, would this be like a win-win for everybody? Like, what's the deal here?
What's the deal? How does this work? Yeah, what do I do? Is there like a YouTube video I can watch?
There's like a YouTube video that's from like 8 years ago. It's like on Handycam, and you can barely hear yeah. the audio. It's got like eight
it's
views.
It's like 160p. Anytime someone moves a little too aggressively, it just turns into four big pixels, and that's it.
But it perfectly answers the question. It has all of the information in it that you need to solve the problem, and that's why we love it. But yeah, they're now they're in the car, but they're free of the zombies, and then Zoe's in a shed. We'll get back to them. Inside the house, Delphine is like taking care of Queenie, who is still mortally wounded from before. And she's like, I gotta go get ice for your flesh wound, question mark? Which this raises another question about, like, the necromancy thing. Because, like, we know Misty Day can heal people with her mud. But, mm-hmm. like, I would have assumed that since Fiona just straight up revived Queenie from dying, that that would have, like, fixed whatever was killing her. Because otherwise, yeah. it's just still killing her. So,
yeah,
it's
right?
a temporary fix.
It's like it was like there was like water coming out of a balloon and she just shoved the water back in the balloon and was like, this will be fine, and like didn't fix the hole at all. Yeah.
Yeah. And so Queenie's like still not in a good like space. Like that didn't fix her. Her getting revived didn't fix her.
And I don't know what ice is really gonna do for a stab wound at this point. That's like kinda like elevate it and wait.
Yeah.
That's really all you got, unless you have like blood transfusions and shit. Yeah.
Like hospital. Yeah. There's, I don't really. Yeah.
I mean, I guess to her credit, Delphine's from like the 1800s. So, like, I don't know if
yeah,
she knows
she
like doctor stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, amazing that she's taking so well to readily available ice.
Yeah.
that's probably a big slap
maybe,
in the face.
I don't know. Maybe that's it. Maybe like ice is a huge thing for people from her time. So, like, if you had ice, it's like, holy shit, I bet that stuff can do anything. I bet that stuff can take care of any problem. But she needs a reason to go downstairs, so it's ice. And she goes downstairs to get ice for Queenie's stab wound. And, like, in this scene, it's not, like, super, like, I don't know, they don't put a lot of detail into it, but, like, you can tell at this point that, like, Delphine has already started to have a change of heart. Like, she really quite has taken to Queenie. Because Queenie saved her life. Like, she has definitely done a 180, and this is the redemption of this character, so to speak, which is weird because this was a real lady who did really abhorrent things in real life.
Right.
Which we will go into more when this culminates at the end of the episode. But she needs to be downstairs, and she is, and as she's getting ice, she hears a noise outside and grabs, like, a big knife. And then conveniently, one of her daughter zombies comes to the window and just kind of bangs on it. And she's like, well, that's my daughter. Gotta let her inside the house. And she does.
And for anyone who's just listening and not watching the show, first of all, blessed are you. Thank you. The wise ones. I appreciate you so much. Second of all, the zombies look like zombies. Like, they don't look like, it's not like her daughters and they like put a little green on them or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Nah, these are full like Night of the Living Dead, like cataract out, like flesh is like melting off kind of zombies. Like, this is not a, oh, my daughter. It would be at worst like a, or at best like a, oh, my daughter. Like, just kind of a regretful, like, how did I let this happen? Not like a, I'm going to let you in and give you a big hug. Like, no, the pus beast is not getting a hug.
There's there's no amount of parental love that's like, I can fix this, you know, like, nah, they're dead. And you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, Delphine's not that. Yeah.
Regret, sadness, absolutely. But a desire to be like, I'm going to hug this one. Nah.
Yeah.
Nope. That's stupid.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Delphine is stupid and opens the door.
Right.
And goes, I'm going to give you a big hug.
And it goes poorly, as you might imagine it would. It doesn't go well. We don't really see exactly what happens, but it's very clear that it does not go well. Because then it cuts to Spaulding, who's minding his own goddamn business upstairs, and gets beat over the head with a candlestick by the same zombie daughter. Queenie starts fighting back. She tries to use... This is clever, because she tries to use her power. It's nice that... again, the bar is in hell for showmaking for the show, but mm-hmm. like, it's nice that they didn't straight up have Queenie forget about her power in this moment, because she does try it, which I know, like, if she hadn't, I think we would have mentioned something like, well, why doesn't she just try to, like, use her power yeah. on them and see if it works? They address that, and she tries, and it doesn't work on zombies, so we can scratch that off the list. And there's not much else you can do against a zombie. It's the thing about zombies in general across, like, all media, both, like, video games, television shows, movies, books, etc., is that almost every type of zombie plays by different rules, has, like, a different rule set based on the universe that they're from. Mm-hmm. Their motivations, like, how to kill them, whether or not they can come back, etc. I assume, based on what happens next, that these are kind of more of the standard run-of-the-mill zombies of, like, aside from their motivation, because they're motivated by magic, I guess, yeah. question mark?
I think, to be totally fair, I do think that's, like, the best thing that works for zombies. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. so, like, yeah.
This like, is but, just, like, really vanilla zombies. Like, right, if you but, stab them a lot, they die.
Yeah, which I think is fine. And I think, and I would assume, like, there's no infection rules here. Like, you can't make a new zombie with the zombies. Mm-hmm. Unless they kill you, I guess, with magic. But I don't. I think here it's just, like,
and they're not trying to, like, eat you. They're just trying to hurt you, because they're just trying to do the bidding of the person who's, like, controlling
they're
them.
They're charged with bad vibes to the point that they've become mobile. Yeah.
Yeah.
God, me too. Same. I'm also constantly motivated and propelled by bad vibes. So Queenie trying to use her power doesn't work, and she's about to get murdered by the zombie, and then Delphine kind of comes in from off screen and kills her daughter zombie with, like, one of those things you use to, like, stoke fires. And that's, like, a scene, like, a good scene, I guess, of, like, her coming in and killing the daughter zombie and then, like, crying. Because, like, obviously it would take a lot emotionally for a mother to kill their child.
Yeah, unless you torture them in a cellar for a year.
Unless later on we get some backstory where it turns out you're a nightmare woman to your daughters the entire time and clearly hate them deeply.
But even that aside, even all that aside, just from a showmaking perspective, this scene loses all gravitas because we saw Delphine let the zombie in and then hug the zombie. So that just opens the question of, well, what the fuck happened after that then? Because does that mean you let the zombie come upstairs and bonk Spaulding? Like, did she just slip past you? She was just too fast? Like, did she knock you out? Why didn't she kill you? Like, that just opens a whole bunch of other questions as to how that zombie got past Delphine after Delphine let her in and gave her a hug. They just needed to, like, show us a scene of Delphine getting, like, knocked out by the zombie or something, because they didn't. And so Delphine coming in to heroically save Queenie and kill her daughter is just confusing more than anything else. It's like, well, did you let this happen? Like, did you let her go upstairs? What are you doing?
There's, like, too much character growth out of nowhere, right? Because it's like, you know, you are turbo racist and psychopathic, and, like, you don't seem to, but suddenly it's like, all right, I do care for my daughters, but now I realize that they're dead, and I have to, like, kind of atone for what I did, so Queenie, I'm saving you in lieu of my daughter, and this all happens in, like, one night suddenly, and she won't let, and, you know, let's be honest, we know what's gonna happen. This will all be forgotten next episode. Like, I'm not even slow beaking from the future here. I bet you anything, though, it's not gonna be, you know, but.
Also, like, the other thing is, and we talked about this, like, in the group chat, like, the thing is, if you really, like, really wanted to stretch suspension of disbelief, you could say, like, oh, well, Delphine spent, like, 200 years underground. She's had a lot of time to reflect on her bad activity. But, like we have talked about, that is, like, well and good. Not, like, it justifies it, but, like, that would be fine if this was a fictional character. But this is a real lady who did, like, real stuff, and now we're writing fan fiction about her having remorse about her crimes and atrocities.
And yeah, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, which is, like, it doesn't feel good. Like, I don't want to read a fan fiction where Hitler decided to, like, be a good guy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want that.
He did continue painting. Yeah, great. Thanks. That's, wow. Wouldn't that be a nicer universe?
Stuff. He still did the bad stuff, too. But then he went on to be a painter. He decided that it was bad. And God, he went on to be a painter.
You know what? That is even worse. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just like, oh, no, but what if he was nice at the end?
Yeah, what if he said sorry?
But you know what the thing is, too? You can't even buy that because not even, I think it was like two episodes ago, she's like really upset that Obama was president because he's black. So it's not even like, after 200 years of reflection, still racist, you know? It's just that when zombies came a knocking, she's like, all right, I guess I owe her one, you know?
Yeah, they just really, really wanted to have like a parallel, like bad mom story to go parallel with Fiona's, to have like these two characters having this revelation, but it's terrible and they didn't need to.
The other thing too is like, because she's so locked down by Fiona just existing, it feels less like she's like having revelatory like moments and learning and growing, and more just like, it's like a hostage situation.
Yeah.
And she's just like any port in a storm, just making the best with what's around her, as opposed to like making an autonomous decision to stop being racist. It's more just like, I have to stop being racist or else my life is going to be more miserable every day, which like isn't, that's not the same as the character being like, I have made a choice to change who I am.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we like, we kind of talked about it like in the group chat of like, it seems like they are a little bit self-aware of like, all right, we can't just say that this actual awful lady would have definitely like stopped being racist for no reason if given the opportunity to like self-reflect or whatever. And also it feels a little bit bad and gross, and by a little bit I mean a lot of it, to take credit for like character development for a lady who was fucking awful in real life. So they kind of made this like fictionalized bad thing she did, because there's not really any documentation of her doing this to her daughters in real life. They like made up another bad thing so that they could redeem this character for something she didn't do, because they knew that it would be like too much to claim that they cured her of her racism.
It's so weird because they made this like so much harder on themselves. Like, just make her fictional. You know what I mean?
Just make
like,
a fictional awful lady. It's not that hard. Yeah. Just base her off of the real people. Like, you can do that. You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to be like, yeah, this person was inspired by fill in the blank bad person. Like, you don't have to just use the bad person. You can just make up your own.
There's like so many options. This was such a bad idea. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm doing hard mode. Like, let's start on easy. You know, we've seen other two seasons. You're not up to it. You know, but
well, the good news is they do follow up this absolutely terrible idea with a good idea because it was someone else's idea.
Yeah.
Because after Delphine has her moment of being consoled by Queenie for having to kill her daughter, who she, again, reminder for the future, hates a lot, outside, Luke is getting carried in by Nan and is just kind of like, hey, I'm dying. You should probably not carry me. And she's giving him the whole like, no soldier, no soldier left behind. Mm. I ain't leaving that dick to die in the woods. And carries him back to the house. And Zoe just like grabs a chainsaw and they do a really bad Evil Dead. They just do a really bad Evil Dead. Like it would be such a fun moment if they had done any better of a job. It kills me because like, and I'm not even getting on a high horse about like chainsaws aren't actually good at cutting people apart, because like that is true. They're very slow machines that chunk out bits at a time. That's not what their purpose is. You can still make it look hard as fuck if you like ram a chainsaw into somebody and show that there's some resistance and then like pull through, right? Like you can make it really visceral and cool. Or you can make it look like it's just like a magic laser blade that makes limbs fall off, and that's kind of what they went for here.
Being wielded by a 17-year-old girl who weighs maybe 90 pounds, like maybe.
Yeah.
It's not even like it's Ash Williams, who's a full-grown man with a robot arm. Like,
right, yeah.
It's a small teenage girl.
And it would be one thing if it was like, oh, she magicked it and that's why it works. But right? There is no indication whatsoever that any magicking has taken place. And you do kind of need to do something to show the viewer that it isn't just you're bad at writing.
You know? Yeah, I will say, like, if this show was like a little bit schlockier, like a little bit more self-aware, which this season is the closest they come to being that, but not quite enough for this scene, I don't think, to be like in universe canon and feel mm-hmm. correct. Yeah. If they went like real schlocky with it, like they do another show called Scream Queens, which has a lot of the same cast, and it's a lot better, IMO, because it is fully campy and fully knows exactly what it is. This kind of a scene would have been perfect in a show like that, where they are fully self-aware of how goofy it is. And maybe even like made some jokes about how goofy it is. Unfortunately, this season is not quite as self-aware. It's like, it's getting there, but it's not quite self-aware enough for this scene to be like good and also like, ah, haha, yeah, like that's good.
To me, it feels like in other mediums when shows just feel like they have to do a musical episode where they're like, yeah, this episode, we're doing this, and it's like, wow, the most masturbatory thing you could put together, huh? you did it. And that's kind of how this feels here, is it's just like, we wanted to do Evil Dead. Why? Because it felt good for us.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And in case you think that we are just like not giving them enough credit, like, oh, chainsaws and zombies, like that could be anything. They literally make an Evil Dead reference earlier in the show. I don't think we mentioned it in the last episode, but like Queenie literally like references the zombies as the Evil Dead. Like she makes a quote from the Evil Dead in in the beginning of the episode, so they're very clearly aware Boo. Of what they are ripping off. Which, like I said, if this show was like a little bit more self-aware and there was like a joke made about it or something and like nobody took it too seriously, it would have probably been fine. It wouldn't have felt like weird. But like later in the episode, like they treat it like she's a hero, which she is in the terms of like what happened. It's just that her being able to do it feels weird and like too good for who she is.
I also feels like it would raise a lot of red flags for example, Fiona, if there was a character who was trying to pay attention to see who would possibly be the next Supreme. Maybe the tiny little lady with coochie powers, just all of a sudden being able to wield a chainsaw like a genius and kill a bunch of that might be like something that you'd be like, that seems wrong. I should look into this.
Yeah.
But, no worries there.
Yeah. But we'll address that later. Now it's back to the hospital. Where terrible husband John Wick shows up.
First, but before they do the end of that, Zoe does get caught off guard by a zombie from off screen and then just kind of looks at it and goes, "Whoa!" And then it cuts to Marie Laveau just slamming into the ground.
Yeah.
Which is so good. Like, apparently, if you fucking counterspell one of Marie Laveau's rituals, the float just also stops instantly without reaction time. So she's just like up 5 feet in the air and then goes, "Whoa!" and then just slams into the ground. And I'm like, that seems like you would have a plan for that. Like, how old is Marie Laveau at this point in time? Like pretty old.
Couple hundred. I would
put a brand of mattress that has not sponsored us yet, but I can go back and edit it in later if they sponsor us. Brand mattress underneath, you know? Like, I would just be ready for that at any time.
So those are my favorite mattresses.
Yeah, everybody loves to sleep on brand mattresses. I agree. Like, it would be great to fall down onto one. But mm-hmm. for real, like, if this is part of the deal, this has to have come up before.
Yeah.
Like, even if, like, what if you were in the middle of a really hard ritual and you had to do a big fart or something? Like,
absolutely.
It feels like you would at least lose your focus and fall down once. Like, this would be something you'd know about.
Yeah, truly the kicking anyway, the router of doing magic is just...
Yeah.
DCing when you're losing is what Zoe did, essentially, and it works. She just kicked the router and knocked Maria offline.
And now it is time to go back to the hospital to see Cordelia with her totally exposed open wound eyes and Hank showing up to argue with Fiona. Fiona basically is just like, "I think you're a fucking loser and a phony." And he goes, you have mind reading, right? And she goes, yeah. He's like, that's all you think? She's like, yeah, that's all I think. He's like, great. That's so cool.
You don't know about my weird Thomas Kincaid forum murders or anything? Okay, just checking.
I fucking hate the lighthouses so much. That's good that you don't know about that, though, Fiona.
Yeah. We like kind of discussed why we think that, like, because that's a pretty big plot hole. Fiona not just like, because Fiona's not like a scrupulous person. Like, even if she had promised her daughter, no, I promise I won't read your husband's mind, even though I hate him. Like, she seems like the type to do it anyway. So,
yeah,
like,
no world you don't. Right.
My only like justification for it is that like she does it out of like courtesy, and also I think that she doesn't what's the word that I'm looking for? She doesn't
care.
He's like, well, that too, but also like I think that she doesn't think that Hank is like a competent enough person to do anything actually malicious. She just thinks he's a loser, so she doesn't bother looking for anything. Plus, if she did find something and she came to Cordelia about it, there's a good chance Cordelia would just be like, "You're just lying because you hate my husband."
I just don't buy that, because Fiona has been shown to be like so petty sometimes. Like, she'll just kill people for like disrespecting her a little. So like the idea of I hate my son-in-law feels like something that she would definitely over time at least look into and figure something out. It doesn't feel believable to me based on the fact that Fiona has been so much harsher over so much less for just because she felt like it that day.
Yeah. I mean, I think, unless... Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, also, like, unless he is like the world's most perfect cheater, right? Because there's like... must have been some time in the marriage when she's like, I don't know where he goes or like where he was at this point, to which gives like, you know, Fiona that like, what the hell's he doing kind of thing. You know what I mean? And even if it's over innocent stuff potentially, right? There could just be that like, I want to make sure this guy's treating my daughter well kind of shit. You know what I mean? Like,
I think it just really does. It boils down to what you said, though. I think it does truly, like, the answer is that up until now, she just, like, hasn't liked him but has not cared enough because she's so self-involved and so, uninvolved in Delia's life that she just, like, hasn't been there. Because that's the reoccurring theme, is that as a Supreme and as a mother, and especially in this episode, like, she's lamenting that she has not been present to protect her coven and also her daughter. So I guess that's probably supposed to be the takeaway, is just that, like, she failed her daughter in that respect as well, ? It just makes her seem a little bit incompetent when really the answer is that she's selfish.
I think, to be honest, like, my cynical view of it is it's kind of for, like, a cheap pathos thing where it doesn't quite fit the character so much. But if I really want to dig in, like, Fiona might be one of those people that, like, cares, doesn't realize this, but she cares more about the insult to her or the vulnerability that she has that she couldn't protect her more than like the actual horrible thing that happened, or at least that's the catalyst for feeling it, you know.
Yeah.
Which is like very complicated for the credit I give VHS, but you know, all right, like,
which even if that was the case, like, even if she hadn't done the mind reading on Hank until now, which I'm just gonna drop here because I don't remember it exactly, but I do have foggy recollections of when I did watch this show. I do think I know where the storyline goes, and I think some answer to what's going on. But I don't want to say what it is.
Yeah, I don't recall, but I think I know what you're saying, and I think that's true.
There is reasoning, and there's like a reason why Hank is the way he is, and like why he has some special, like.
Yeah. There's a reason it might be. He might be like, there might be a reason,
no,
an in-universe reason. But.
I loved when Hank was just like, he happened to be a serial killer that was related to this weird witch cult.
No,
and like wasn't like a special little guy or something. Because that's what it's going to be.
Not,
they're going to make him a special little guy or some shit, right?
It's not off the table. You know,
he's the Mothman. Didn't you know?
I kind of forget.
That would be so good if that was it. That would be so good. Also, he's John Wick. He hates Thomas Kincaid puzzles, and also he's Mothman. Maybe the specialist little guy ever, actually.
Easy mistake to make. People think he hates bridges. No, he showed up to try and get people to save the bridge. He fucking hates lighthouses, though.
Oh my god, call him Alan Wake because he fucking hates lighthouses. Anyway, So Fiona has decided to be a good mom now and is like, you better get the fuck away from my daughter. And I don't, it's not like implied that she's decided now to read his mind, because that's what I was going to say earlier, is like, even if we gave like all the other stuff credit of like, oh yeah, she's never done it because she either doesn't care or like was being respectful, whatever reason you want to fill in the blank, like at this point where she has decided like, oh fuck, I failed my daughter and she got acid in her eyes and like my coven's falling apart, like I killed one of the girls, oopsies. This would be the point where she would absolutely throw all of her like hesitation for reading Hank's mind out the window and be like, hey, I have this blackmail on you, get the fuck out of my daughter's life. But she doesn't for some reason, which that is the most unbelievable part out of all of it, I think, is because we can maybe like reason away with our own like theories why she's never done it until now. But at this point where she's having these like, I don't know, maybe their reasoning is because she took like a handful of assorted medications from the medicine closet and she just didn't think about it.
Oh, she's still in spooky hospital mode. Okay. Yeah.
She didn't think about it because she took too many of the assorted pills that she grabbed from the medicine room without reading them.
Oh, Silent Hillazine. Damn it. I'm going to be on this for 3 hours.
No. The psilocybin that's awful.
That pyramid guy keeps walking around outside and he won't get me anything from the vending machine. This sucks.
Your wife. I'm single, dude. Killed your wife. No, I didn't.
No, I didn't, but actually.
I did just get an apartment, though. Is that, okay, that's the other thing, then. One of the two.
Oh, no, I'm stuck in my damn apartment. The whole face, the wall, a goddamn face.
Oh my god. So Fiona's like, get the fuck out of my daughter's life. I'm gonna go get a snack, and when I come back, you better be fucking gone. You can say goodbye to Delia, and when I get back, you should be gone. And he's like, whatever, man. And then he goes to sit with Delia, and he touches her hand, and at that exact moment, which, by the way, like Ty said earlier, Delia's just like, laying in the bed with like no bandages on her eyes or anything, which I don't know, I've never been around someone who got their eyes melted with acid, but like I would think that would warrant some kind of covering.
Burn victims. I have worked with burn victims, both like chemical and thermal. You cover that a lot, because like that's a place where your skin is not able to do its job correctly. And the number one job your skin is prevent infections from getting into your body. So if you just have that shit open and exposed, yeah, you're asking for infection, which is like the number one way to turn that from being like a kind of bad problem into you died. So like, no, they would not have her eyes just open and boiled and chilling out in the nasty Silent Hill hospital vibes.
You know what? I'm not a medical, I've never been around a lot of burn victims, but I did see the movie The Dark Knight from Christopher Nolan, and they even kind of mention it there. Yeah. You know, like right there, they're like, he's refusing skin grafts, he's probably gonna get an infection. I'm like, aha. So if you watch enough movies, good enough for American Horror. Well, actually, yeah, you're a little higher, but
yeah. And conveniently, the second that Hank touches her hand, she conveniently develops another power we haven't seen anybody show yet, which is a power that you can have. Really convenient one for her to get right now when she doesn't have use of her eyes, which is that if you touch somebody, you can read their mind, or see their memories, rather. And she does, and she sees him cheating on her. And I don't know if she sees the murder part, but she definitely sees the cheating part. And she's like, holy fuck, this sucks. And then it cuts away. What a shitty time to develop that power, huh?
Yeah. Also, wild to be a blind soothsayer, except you don't get to see the future. Instead, you just see stuff that happened already that you didn't get to see before. It's like the worst version of it. Like, you're like, oh, I'm blind, but I'm blind and a witch. That probably means I'll get to see the future. That could be pretty cool for the coven. Oh, I get to see my husband cheat on me. Fuck.
after the fact. Yeah, like.
Yeah, and I can't even stop it. Yeah.
It's honestly something someone else could have told me without, like, fucking.
This sucks. I got the second worst power besides the demon coochie. This blows. Anyway.
Zoe's still like, I'll trade you. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like, nah, I'm good.
And like the day that now it's the next day. So we don't get to see how that like culminates. And Fiona's back at the house and she's like supervising as the girls are burning all the zombie bodies. And like, this scene is very odd because they just have like a heap of bodies burning. And you may be wondering like, oh, is Miss Robichaud's like school like, you know, like secluded or like
dimension?
Yeah. Is it like far away from the public? No, like some dudes, some actual normal guys just wandered onto the property last night and got killed by zombies. And like the next door neighbor, like they watched the next door neighbor move in from their porch. Like, they're not, like, hidden by any stretch of the imagination.
This would be the equivalent of, like, me making a corpse pile in my backyard in Lowell, Indiana. Like, this is like, insane. Like, suburb stuff.
I'm just going to pull up my notes here. I think you'll both find, though, they're in a far-off, secluded area of Louisiana called, oh, the city of New Orleans. Never
Yeah, like, New Orleans proper. Like, the middle of it.
The biggest city in the goddamn state, like, by far. Like, get the...
And I think that maybe they wanted us to think, like, oh, it's the day after Halloween. No one would think anything about that. Bodies smell like away, you know? And
burning
also,
corpses!
You smell something? Yeah, beignets, yeehaw! Like, get the fuck out of here.
And it's not even like you could be like, oh, it's just burning, like, zombies. Beignets. Like, no. They're burning people. They're
Let's
burning
the
guys.
Let's get to Café Dumont. Boys, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, just put some powdered sugar on the pile. No one will ever know.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, just throw a king cake on there, see what happens.
That's a gross muffalata if I ever smelled one way too much.
Oh,
olive.
We get it. You know bakeries.
Yeah. But, like, again, they're not burning just zombies. They're burning, like, regular people bodies, too, which, I don't know. I think that maybe that would, raise some suspicion if someone
Time
goes to look for those guys. Yeah. And it's not like they're doing it even like behind the house. They're doing it in the front of the house. And like Fiona's just watching it like, this is fine. This is fine and normal. No one will have any questions about this. Remember how I'm here to make sure that nobody suspects that we're witches or anything and to like keep eyes off of our school? Just make like a pyre. Just make like a pyre in the front yard. It's fine. No one will ever question it. They'll think it's Halloween stuff. It's normal. This is normal day after Halloween activities. No one will question it. It's fine.
So at this point, Fiona thanks Zoe for protecting the house while she was gone. Which does mean Zoe has told her directly, I wielded a chainsaw and cut like 100 guys up with a chainsaw. And Fiona went, yeah, that's normal teen girl behavior. Good stuff. Keep
yeah,
it
she
up.
Went nice.
Nice. Yeah,
give
well
her a thumbs
done.
Up.
Who wouldn't?
Like, and for what it's worth, even though that shit's goofy and like her whole thing of being able to use the chainsaw is goofy, like the way that Fiona thanks Zoe is like, kind of out of character and like, but like in a good way, like she is like genuinely thankful. She's like, thank you for protecting the house when I wasn't here too. Like, it's kind of like a moment of like genuine gratitude, which is like most things in this episode, blown the fuck out by the fact that the thing she's thanking Zoe for is the goofiest shit I've ever seen. had this have gone differently, this would have been a meaningful moment between Fiona and one of the students that she has not previously gotten to really engage with. And it's kind of establishing Zoe as like, oh, even though you only have the coochie power, you deserve to be here and like respected as a witch or whatever. Yeah. And also they start talking about like, what the fuck are we going to do with Luke? He's in the house and like missing a leg or whatever. And Fiona's like, well, we got to keep him at our house because his mom loves Jesus. And that's going to be a huge problem for us. And that's kind of the end of it. But when she's like, we got to keep him, Nan's like, this is so cool. I'm so glad I get to keep our neighbor. And then, like, runs inside to go tell him or whatever. And then Delphine joins them. And she does, at the time that I posted in our chat a joke about this, I did not know this is what actually happened in the episode. Because I made a joke. I was like, wouldn't it be funny because of these two parallel, like, bad mom storylines going on where these two bad moms are, like, coming to terms with how bad they were at being moms and, like, trying to make it right. Wouldn't it be really funny if Delphine came up to Fiona and was like, yeah, man, we were both really bad moms, huh? When in reality, Delphine, like, tortured her daughters and, like, flayed them alive and, like, literally caused irreparable physical harm to them. And you Fiona know, was, like, kind of emotionally absent from Delia's life.
You know, though, like, even if, like, all else notwithstanding, if somebody pulled the kids, huh, after one of my kids lost their sight, I would kill them then if I'm a witch. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just like, all right, fuck this. To hell with you. You're going back in the box. Like, that's too much. Sorry, pal. You know?
Yeah. But, like, I made that joke, and then this scene actually does happen where Delphine kind of wanders out, and she sees her daughter's body on the pyre, and she's like, yeah, we are both pretty bad moms, huh? And then Fiona responds in the only acceptable way to that. And she's like, get the fuck away from me, you fucking idiot. You fucking moron. Get the fuck away from me. We are not the same. Like, how dare you? And then walks back in the house. Which I will say, they are consistent with every time Delphine, like, tries to, like, relate to Fiona, like, oh, I'm a bad lady, too. Fiona's like, we are not the same. Do not look at me. Do not breathe my air. Which is good. They keep her consistent in that way. And they don't have, like, Fiona, who is morally gray, be like, all right, you get a pass. Like, she's like, no, you fucking suck. I hate you. Every time she gets the chance.
You know, I mean, I don't remember, I don't know, but, like, you know, just keep in mind, dude, the season's not over yet, so, you know, let's see
that's
if it holds,
true.
But...
And now, if you were one of the people who watched this back when it aired, you might remember that this specific 10 minutes of television was, like, this next 10 minutes of television that's about to happen was, like, a big deal in the American Horror Story, like, community when it happened. It's, like... one of the more standout scenes that people remember and, like, is frequently quoted or, like, clipped or, like, posed. Like, and, like, rewatching it, I'm like, why was that? This is such a nothing scene. And, like, it gets retconned in, like, 30 seconds.
Right.
But it's, like, a big deal. There's no buildup. It just happens. But anyway, to, like, you may remember if you watched it, like, it happening and it being like a big deal when it aired on TV. It's not. Rewatching it, it's not. The council's here because more shit has happened. And they're like, Fiona, so we heard your daughter got attacked by like acid or whatever. That's fucked up. Did you do that? And they're like, and she's like, no. And they're like, you are just a real dog shit supreme. You're fired. I'm like, can they do that? Like, can you fire the most powerful witch? Like, wouldn't she just say no?
The inherent problem with the president also being the entire military by himself.
Right. Yeah,
the issue of how do you retire when that is the strength as well. Yeah. Kind of not like it'd be one thing if it's like, hey, we're going to have somebody else do the leadership stuff, but you're just going to be like a free agent military, which frankly, Fiona would probably be more into. Like
right?
That is if presented correctly and making it feel like, hey, we don't want you to have less authority. We just know you fucking hate meetings. So here's a position where you can still flex and like be useful to the society, as it were, while still going and fucking around. I bet she would have been fully amenable to that.
Yeah.
Like, I bet she would have loved it. But no, instead it's you're fired, but I have all the spells. Yeah, we'll figure it out. We don't need them, whatever.
I think she like even says something to that effect. She's like, how are you going to fire me? I'm the fucking supreme. And they're like, well, we'll watch your kids or whatever. And she's like, no, question mark. Which Fiona responds to this how the person who has all the spells should respond to this and says, sit the fuck down. I'm the supreme. And literally, like, shoves Myrtle into her chair and, like, forces her to sit and listen. Which it's, if this episode wasn't so goofy in so many other ways, this would be like a oh shit, like badass moment of her being like, ah, it's time for me to actually be the fucking supreme. Because she does not like hesitate, and she like immediately puts Myrtle in her place. And she's like, I bet you did the attacks. And she straight up makes an accusation And then Myrtle's like, how dare you? I was more of a mother to your daughter than you were in her in your absence, which is a little confusing. That raises a lot of questions. And then Fiona tells the council, the other two members of the council, whose name I don't remember, that Myrtle has been, like, living in New Orleans and, like, stalking Fiona, which is, like, a little which is, like, true, because she gets caught with this, and that's going to be confusing in a few minutes. She gets caught with that, because she's also using...
Yeah. This evidence is real. Just keep that in mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, clearly she is doing that, which is, again, confusing, because it seems like, A, Myrtle would have, like, better stuff to do, and B, like, Fiona hasn't even, like, been here until, like, a week ago. I don't know. It's just a little odd. So this is real. Yes. She has been stalking,
also,
and, like, she provides
if
evidence.
Myrtle was also, if Myrtle was, like, supposed to be doing investigations on Fiona this whole time, why would she need to do it as, like, a secret thing? The team is clearly on board with this idea. Like, yeah. They're all here. They would have let her do it. Yeah.
And then to, like, seal the deal, to, like, put the nail in the coffin, so to speak, she's like, I bet if we check your hands, you'll have the same burns as the acid. And sure enough, when she pulls Myrtle's, like, hand, like, glove back, her hand is burned.
Specifically, she grabs Myrtle by the hand, and when she does, Myrtle starts screaming in pain and yelling, she's attacking me. Which, for what it's worth, like, if the person is the Supreme and they grab you by the arm first and then pull off a glove and see a burn, I wouldn't even think there's, like, some weird multi-witch drifting happening. I would just assume, like, yeah, the Supreme can just boil someone's skin, probably. Like,
yeah.
Like, thermal energy manipulation has not been a problem in the past at any point. I don't see why she couldn't concentrate it into just a layer of someone's skin. Like, that seems like totally doable. Just cook someone's fucking skin instantly. Why not? Why would this be evidence? Well, regardless, Myrtle starts screaming, I'm being attacked, before the glove comes off, again, like, in pain. And yeah, sure enough, she's got a huge acid wound all over her arm that's almost identical to Cordelia's, even though Cordelia's had been, like, healing for multiple days. And this one was, spoilers, this one's fresh. So it doesn't really work on that at all. yeah. And so then Fiona just turns to the other two people on the council, fucking Rizlis and Flimbo, and goes, yes, we got to burn her, right? And Rizlis goes, my hands are tied, we got to burn you. And then Flimbo's like, sorry, dear, we got to burn you alive. You know how it is on this bitch of an earth. And then they carry her out, and they're like, time to burn her, I guess, which... feels like there should be some, like, intermediary steps. Like, this feels like there was a trial that happened, and then you just, like, turned it around into a different trial immediately, and then also were like, this is the conclusion of the trial. It just feels like a lot happened really quickly for a death sentence.
Real,
you know?
Ace attorney, yeah. Shit. Real Ace attorney shit.
Like, looser than Ace attorney. Like, Ace attorney, but, like, everyone knows there's magic, and they're not playing around it. Like, they're just like, oh, whatever, we'll just walk into it all the time.
Yeah. And this is the scene that's, like, not the council, like, coming to the conclusion, but this scene of them walking Myrtle out to be executed, because they, like, walk out into, like, this weird gravel desert. I don't know where the fuck it's supposed to be, because remember, this is New Orleans. I don't think there's a lot of gravel deserts.
They go to the closest place they could drive to where they were allowed to do a large scale burn on set. Do that. Yeah.
Like, there's nothing around. It's just big piles of white gravel everywhere. I don't know. And they set up a stake, and they set up Myrtle to be burned at the stake. It's very, like, aesthetically, it's a very cool looking scene, because, like, Myrtle has this big head of, like, bright red hair, and she's wearing a white, like, dress to be burned in, and all of the witches are wearing black, and it's a very stark contrast to the white gravel everywhere, and there's no other, like, scenery. It's a very aesthetically pleasing scene.
Also, one weird thing I just want to bring up is Myrtle at the end of the discussion, after the acid burns are revealed on her hands, just concedes at this point, the Arbiter and Witch of Truth, the one who believes in justice and the truth coming out above all other things. That's her driving ideal, her guiding light, the thing she bases both her job, her magic, and her abilities on entirely, when confronted with the truth being overturned by a nasty trick, just said, yeah, all right, you got me.
Right?
You got me, GGs. Which, yeah, that, in retrospect, that actually is, like, really frustrating, that the character is built literally entirely on one thing and then just goes, GG's, better player one. Guess you can burn me alive.
That's so weird.
Guess, I don't know. I guess the way I interpreted it was that, like, from what we've seen and, like, her outbursts all the time, is that, like, this was her breaking point. She's realized that no matter what she fucking does, Fiona is always going to, like, convince people that she's telling the truth, like, even though she's lying.
For sure. It just feels like so... Considering the only scenes we've seen of Myrtle are like, I believe in truth and justice, I believe in truth and justice, and then the one time it's put to the test just immediately folding, it just feels like a really cheap, like, turn on the character. Yeah.
It also is not even, like, you know... I think this would work better if it was one of those, like a mystery novel kind of thing, where it's like... all the pieces fall into place for the wrong conclusion. But here it's like one or two things that even don't quite fit, you know, like,
yeah.
Hey, you've got the same burn suddenly.
I think the implication they want us to take away, but it's unearned because we get almost no time with Myrtle before this, is that, like, this has been a thing that has been going on since they were teenagers. Yeah. And this is a lifetime of her being like, hey, she's doing a bad
thing.
And everybody being like, no, she's not. And then her getting away with it. And now it's like... all right, now I really can't. I really literally cannot convince people. And I guess that would be extra frustrating if you were the witch of truth or whatever, that you were constantly getting BTFO'd by this one lady. But I said, there's, like, not a lot of buildup to it. And that's why, like, rewatching this now, I'm like, yeah, I remember this being, like, a big deal. Like, this was, like, a big thing of, like, oh, this character is going to get executed for this. Like, wow. That, like, in a different show with, like, a lot more buildup, this would have been a big deal. And I remember it being a bigger deal. But it's really not. It's just kind of a, yeah, no, you're going to get burned at the stake now, character we've seen twice.
It would legitimately be, like, if in the... middle of, like, an Ace Attorney game, they decided to, like, burn a random security guard that you interacted with a couple times alive. It's just, like, weird. I don't know why they did that, but, okay. Guess you can.
And they do, and she gets, like, doused with gasoline, and then Fiona sets her on fire with a cigarette, and the CG for it's really bad, which I'm like, well, she's the Supreme. Why didn't she just use pyrokinesis? I guess they thought it looked cool for her to set it on fire with a cigarette or whatever.
Yeah.
It didn't.
And then it cuts back to the school where Fiona takes a pill, another nondescript pill, and Queenie comes in and is like, hey. And the way that they frame this is actually, like, good. Like, I like the dialogue, especially from Queenie. Because she goes, the only thing she says is she comes in and she's like, all I want to know is, did I help you frame a guilty woman or an innocent one? And so, like, we get, like, a little flashback and we see that, this is, like, a setup, basically. And, Fiona was accusing Myrtle. Queenie, who had acid somehow, burned
her
fingers.
Yeah, that is never really explained, that she just, like, had a jar of the acid that hurt her daughter.
And Queenie obviously feels very, like, guilty. And she's like, I don't know if... because, like, Fiona kind of blows her off. Like, oh, well, all you need to know is she was guilty of something. And Queenie is very not accepting of that answer and is, like, clearly accepting of being an accomplice to getting Myrtle killed. And that's when Fiona, like, starts, like, kind of blowing smoke up her ass. Like, oh, well, I think you might be the next Supreme. You are so strong and, like, your powers are coming in. And I think you're going to be the next Supreme. Like, just, like, trying to get her to stop focusing on the murder. And then, I know you've all been waiting for it. Upstairs, we get more weird Spalding baby time.
Yes.
Where he's dressed as a baby. You know, after your whole house is attacked by zombies, you gotta unwind somehow. And he's unwinding the way that he does best, which is he's dressed as a baby and he's in his weird doll room.
I just don't understand. Like, babies don't have tea parties, right? That's not like a baby.
No, they don't.
It's like a toddler to like five thing, right?
Yeah. You got it. Yeah.
So why is he dressed as a baby and then, like, running a tea party?
This is 100%.
This is too early for, like, organizational skill development, you know?
This is 100% the writers of the show heard about, like, the like diaper fetish and like the DDLG like age regression fetish community, and they were like, I'm not gonna look into that, but I am gonna use it in my show. And then they just made Spalding a weird baby guy.
Or we learned something about Dennis O'Leary or whatever his name is. Dennis O'Hare. Yeah.
Dennis O'Leary. Dennis O'Leary. Baby man.
And Mario's like, favorite comedian, yeah.
He's spraying the room down with Febreze because Madison's body is rotting and it's stinky. And he like tries to pull her out of the box to dress her in another outfit. And her arm comes off and it's played for like laughs. But again, this show's like not this season and this show is not quite campy enough for it to work. It just comes off as weird. And her arm comes off. And then, like I said, this is literally like 2 minutes after Myrtle dies. They retcon it because it's back at the site of Myrtle dying. And there's some dogs eating her burned corpse. Which I don't know that dogs would do that. Because that corpse is probably still pretty crisp. And there probably wouldn't be much left to eat if I had to guess. But they're there and they're eating her. And Misty Day shows up because she just does that. And she's like, oh, hey, yeah. I also got burned at the stake. That's so cool. I don't think that maybe you were burned for a bad reason because I wasn't burned for a bad reason. So I'm just going to revive you. And she does. Misty Day never considers even once that maybe someone got killed for like a reason that they needed to die. She's like, no. If someone dies, I'm just going to bring them back. No questions asked.
Does she just have like burned at the stake sense? Like she's just like, oh, someone was burned at a stake recently. Like how I can like always tell if someone's ghost riding a whip nearby. Is it like she's just like someone's burning at a stake? I need to get over there. I got to do something about this.
Yeah, I guess that's the implication. Because she was magically drawn to the reviving of Kyle, but that's like a reviving spell. So that's a different thing. Nobody was dying there. The opposite was happening.
I guess you could probably do something like, you know how like you sense the force or whatever, and there's with witches, it's like, well, I think there's some witch who died nearby or something or other, you know. For me though, like my biggest issue with this whole thing too is like this really kind of messes with the drama and everything of the show, because you've kind of got this whole thing where now death doesn't quite matter at all. Like with Kyle, at least it's like, okay, we've revived him, but there's like consequences to it. He's not just revived.
Yeah.
Misty's just back. Myrtle, thank you. Yeah. Myrtle's just back. Like there's no point to her death now. Like death has no meaning really, you know?
Yeah. And this is like a problem that a lot of media runs into as soon as they're like, we need this character back. And it's either like you have to immediately slap some kind of handcuffs on the reviving ability, you know, just like everybody gets one and then God says no more or something like
that. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Or like there needs to be something available for tension. Because, yeah, if a character can just get fucking smoked into pieces and then put back together, like, yeah, it kind of removes all the tension. Like, what are you going to do? Kill me? Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Like, whatever. Yeah. Big whoop. I died three times last week. I don't fucking care.
Because they didn't do this fortunately, but if they had done this before the zombie thing, then it's like there's no like danger at all, you know. It's like, oh, the zombies killed you, but yeah, we got you back, don't worry, you're fine, you know. Sorry, I'm sure it was painful, you know, like.
And it's like, I get not wanting to explain a lot of stuff. There's the whole thing of like, you know, what is one of the worst things that ever happened in Star Wars? The concept of midichlorians and feeling the need to explain what the Force is and how it works.
Mm-hmm.
But this is something where it is such a wrench in the works of how the story functions just by being such an overwhelmingly powerful narrative device that like, no, you do need to explain this one a little bit. Yeah. Like this is like normally I'm all about like, don't explain magic. This is one time you do need to explain your magic like a little bit.
Yeah.
Or else it's just invalidating so many threats. Like, why do you care about dying, Fiona? Just get picked up again. Like who cares?
Whatever. Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or, like, even then, like, too, because, yeah, she could bring back Madison if she wanted. I know she doesn't. But, you know what I mean? Like, there's all sorts of things that are just, like, now kind of, whatever, you know? But, well, hopefully it won't come up or anything.
Also, if Misty Day can sense witches, why does she never show up at the school where there's 150 witches and go, hey, y'all, howdy. I detected y'all doing magic in here. What's good?
You got a class, night classes I can take or something? And then, like, everybody laughs.
Y'all like Stevie Nicks?
You smell them beignets? before.
Did you smell them beignets? I got my good mud and some Stevie Nicks albums. Rootin' tootin'. this show's number one mistake currently is having not enough Misty Day getting weirdly rebuffed by everyone around her.
My poor queen. My poor queen. I love her.
Misty Day being a perfect angel and inexplicably everyone around her going like, "Ew, stinky, get out of here."
Yeah, they're like, "You a witch." Like, everybody else is a witch with like weird coochie powers, but then they see Misty Day and they're like, "Ew."
You mean the pretty blonde lady who like brought a dove back to life? Yeah. Oh, terrible. The worst one. Like, what the Jeez. Fuck is wrong with you people?
Come here, her poison badge. Don't call me that. But yeah.
Her crime is that she's too nice. Like, you've got Madison, who's like a nasty lady who like killed a director for being a director. And then you've got like Zoe, who's awful in most ways and also only has demon coochie. And then you have Misty Day, who's a beautiful ray of sunshine and wants friends more than anything in the world, and everyone's like, "Gross, get away from me, you weirdo, you sicko."
I know. you're under a tier, you're a tier under poison puss, and we don't even know why, but terrible.
this kind of has similar vibes of in Cult, where they had the one actress just repeatedly be like, "Oh, I'm hideous. Yeah. No one could ever look at me. No one would ever relate to me." And it just makes everyone who interacts with her look fucking crazy. Where they walk up to this woman and are just like, "You're hideous." And it's like, "What? Are you okay?"
It's like
the same thing of Misty walking up and being like, "Howdy, y'all. You want to be friends?" And being like, "I'll fucking kill you with an axe, you weird swamp beast."
But same that's Lily Rob too, right? The same actress. Like, what kind of complex are they giving her? Jeez.
Yeah, God.
You'll be playing the ugliest woman in New Orleans again for season 13. Like, okay, guys, sorry, jeez.
Well, next time,
Burn Witch Burn.
Yeah. The Axeman cometh, and it
sucks. Is that the name of the episode?
Yeah.
Like ICP?
Yeah, actually, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. The witches go to a Juggalo concert with the voodoo gang, and they put it together, and they end up having a cool time. They learn family values. That's right. Or just, hey, enough of this, moon that. Let's hit the moon mist. Have a great night. Let's go. Well, till next time, everybody. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
Bye.